Well, it certainly is a great privilege to be back here at St. John's in Front Royal and to talk about how to make and live the De Montfort consecration. How many of you have already made the De Montfort consecration in the past? So some of you are renewing it. Well, what I'd like to do during this talk is just to tell you a little bit about the life of St. Louis de Montfort and then explain his teachings and his spirituality, and then go into how to make the consecration and then give some practical tips on how to live the De Montfort consecration. So first of all, when we look at the life of St. Louis de Montfort, he was really the one that God chose to usher in the great Marian age. He was a priest born in Western France, lived from the year 1673 until he died a very young death at the age of 43, and that was in the year 1716. He was ordained a priest in the year 1700, which means he was only a priest for 16 years. And yet, during that short amount of time that he was a priest, God worked through him to help reinvigorate the faith throughout France. Now, St. Louis de Montfort was the one, I believe, that God used to usher in this great Marian age that we belong to now. For example, after he died in 1716, you'll notice how many apparitions and wonderful Marian events have taken place since then. For example, in the year 1830, Our Lady appeared at Rue des Bacs and gave the miraculous medal. In the year 1854, the Declaration of the Immaculate Conception was given. 1858, Our Lady appeared at Lourdes. In the 1870s, she appeared at Knock over in Ireland. 1917, we know about her appearance at Fatima. Then she appeared in Barang and Banno, Belgium in the 1920s and 30s. And then this was also a time when the great Marian movement began. The Legion of Mary in 1921, the Knights of the Immaculata around 1917, the Schoenstatt movement, eventually the Blue Army. And then we have the definition of the Assumption in 1950. And then I believe the Marian age has really been culminated by this great Marian Pope, the saintly Pope that we have today, Pope John Paul II. But really, de Montfort was the first one to really usher in this great Marian age. And so many of the saints have been influenced by St. Louis de Montfort's writings. St. Therese the Little Flower, St. Maximilian Kolbe, Venerable Matt Talbot. Matt Talbot was an alcoholic lying in the gutters in Dublin before he read this book, The True Devotion. After he read this book, he broke out of his slavery to alcohol and became a slave of Jesus through the Blessed Mother. We also have recent saints, not canonized yet, but people like Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion. He had to read this book 6 or 7 times before he really was able to accept it. Edel Quinn, the missionary to Africa. Mother Teresa. This was the main spirituality of Mother Teresa, as well as our own beloved Pope John Paul II. John Paul II says that the reading of this book was a decisive turning point in my life. He said he also had to read it many times before he was able to accept it. So what we have here is de Montfort really being the catalyst to influence the lives of so many people during the last 200 years. In fact, de Montfort predicted that his writing would be so powerful that the devil would try to keep it hidden as long as he could. In fact, he predicted the devil would try to destroy the book, or at least to keep it hidden. And that's exactly what happened. When de Montfort died in 1716, the only copy of the book, his handwritten manuscript, was hidden in a chest of old books in a field during the times of the persecution of the church in France. After the persecution, it was dug up and then brought into the parish library, but it was kept hidden in a box of old books. And this book was not discovered until 126 years after the death of Louis de Montfort. In the year 1842, a Montfort priest was researching, writing a book or a paper, and he opened up his chest and he found the manuscript of Louis de Montfort. And when he found it, the first 80 pages had been ripped off. And we still don't even have the first 80 pages of this book. So de Montfort's prediction came true, that the devil would try to destroy the book, or at least keep it hidden for as long as 126 years. Now, after it was discovered, in the year 1842. It was translated into English in the year 1862 by Father Faber, the great convert from the Anglican Church. And then, once it began to be in English, it began to influence all these people, let's say like Matt Talbot and Frank Duff and Edel Quinn and others. And this was the spirituality that Frank Duff used in spreading the Legion of Mary throughout the entire world. So this consecration will certainly change your life. It has changed the life of our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, the life of Mother Teresa, St. Therese the Little Flower, and it can certainly change your life as well. If we study this book and live it, and then, of course, try to put it into practice each and every day of our lives. So it can be a life-changing event. That's why the devil does not want people to read this book or to make this consecration. So if you experience some suffering or persecution or difficulties, you're in good shape, okay? In fact, the Montfort predicted that those who promote this book, who make this consecration, will receive crosses from God. So you have to be willing to expect that there will be the cross when you make and try to live this consecration. Now, the life of St. Louis de Montfort was very fascinating because he was born during the same year that our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary and manifested devotion to the Sacred Heart, the year 1673 in France. Was a time when Jansenism had spread throughout the church in France. Jansenism denied the mercy and the love of God. And it said that we should stay away from the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. We should stay away from devotion to the Sacred Heart and devotion to our Blessed Mother. All these things were presumption, and that the Eucharist was a reward for living a good life, rather than the viaticum, the food for the journey, for us to live a good and holy life when we receive the Eucharist in the state of grace. So it's not an accident that the same year that our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary to manifest his great love of his Sacred Heart to the world, that a little baby was born in Western France that would be perhaps the greatest opponent to Jansenism, and that was St. Louis de Montfort. Now, he was the second of 18 children. And did you know that 11 of his brothers and sisters are saints? Now, 10 of them died in infancy after baptism. But as we know, our Catholic teaching says that they're saints, right? Any baby that dies after baptism goes straight to heaven. Now, de Montfort's the only canonized saint in his family, but he does have 10 brothers and sisters that are seeing God face to face in the beatific vision. Now, of the remaining 8 brothers and sisters that live, 4 became priests and 4 became nuns. So he had a very special family. As a young man, he was educated by the Jesuits. He eventually went to Saint-Sulpice Seminary. And after he was ordained a priest, he felt he was called to the foreign missions. In fact, he wanted to go to Canada to become a priest, to work in the Canadian missions and to give his life in the foreign missions. But he first went to the Holy Father. He walked 1,000 miles from France to Rome to meet with the Holy Father and present his life before the Holy Father and said, "Holy Father, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do." And he asked the Pope for permission to become a foreign missionary, to go to Canada. And the Pope looked at this incredible figure, this very stately man who really looked like a beggar, big, strong hulk of a man. And the Holy Father said, "No, I want you to go back to France and to work among the dioceses in France and to help bring about an end of Jansenism." And so the Holy Father gave him a title which very few priests have ever had, and that is the title of a missionary apostolic. Missionary apostolic. And de Montfort went back to France and spent the next 16 years preaching. And he gave over 200 parish missions. He would travel across France. He would preach. He would pray the rosary with people and encourage them to make this consecration to Jesus through Mary, which he called the perfect renewal of their baptismal vows. See, the Montfort placed an incredible amount of importance upon baptism. He said, your baptism was when you were consecrated to God. But it was your parents and godparents that made that consecration on your behalf. He said, what you need to do, though, as an adult, is to renew your own baptismal vows and promises, to give yourself to God, but to do this through the Blessed Mother. And so he called it the consecration to Jesus through Mary. And he said that you need to do that as an adult, to reject Satan, to profess your faith in God, and to promise to carry the cross all the days of your life. And he said, when you do this, then you'll be renewing your baptismal vows and promises on your own. And that's what de Montfort went about preaching throughout France. Now, of course, he was hated by the Jansenists, especially by the Jansenist bishops that were around. And during his time of travel, on a number of occasions, he was beat up. One time, 12 men attacked him, but de Montfort, being so strong, he fought them all off. Other times, de Montfort would go to preach on little islands that had never seen a priest in 20 or 30 years. One occasion, he went to the island of Yew, and the waters were infiltrated by British pirates. And de Montfort knew that if he was going to get to this island, most likely he would be perhaps killed on his way to preach the gospel to these people. But he went, and as he was heading across these waters, two British pirate ships were about to attack him. But de Montfort was praying the rosary at the helm, singing songs to Our Lady, and just as the pirate ships were about to overtake him, the wind changed and the pirate ships were blown off course. So de Montfort was able to go preach the gospel to these people. Now, de Montfort ended his life very early at the age of 43 because he was poisoned by some of his enemies. When he went to visit a certain monastery, they gave him some soup, and in it was a large concentration of poison. And he tasted the soup, and he spit it out because he knew it was, he found out it was poisonous, but he had ingested some of it, and that brought about a very slow death over the last 2 years of his life. But before de Montfort died, he was able to found three religious congregations, the Daughters of Wisdom, the Company of Mary, which is called the Montfort Fathers, and the Brothers of St. Gabriel. And today there are about 7,000 members of his congregation throughout the world. Now, de Montfort was always preaching, always walking everywhere, and yet he had the time to write 5 books and 24,000 verses of poetry. Now, the 5 books he wrote were The Secret of the Rosary, The Secret of Mary, The Friends of the Cross, and then a book called The Love of the Eternal Wisdom. See, Jesus is the eternal wisdom. And de Montfort says the purpose of your life is to possess eternal wisdom, is to grow into the image and likeness of Christ, to have Jesus born and to grow within your soul. He says that's the purpose of life, is to possess eternal wisdom. He says in his book, Love of the Eternal Wisdom, there are 4 ways that you need to do to possess eternal wisdom. The first one is that you have to have an ardent desire. You really have to desire to possess Christ, to become one with Christ, to become a saint. You have to desire it. Second, we need continual prayer, to have a life of prayer, an interior life. Third, a life of mortification, of accepting the crosses that God sends you, and to embrace the cross in your life. He called it mortification. And fourth, he said, to possess eternal wisdom, devotion to the Blessed Mother. He says a tender and true devotion to the Blessed Mother is the fourth and the greatest means to possess Christ, eternal wisdom. Now that was his book, The Love of Eternal Wisdom. And what he did was, he wrote another book explaining the last chapter on devotion to Our Lady. And that's what we have here called The True Devotion to Our Lady. This is an expansion of that last chapter in his book, Love of Eternal Wisdom. And this book details on how to make the consecration and how to live the consecration and how to grow into a tender and true devotion to our Blessed Mother. So these writings of de Montfort have really, and I believe, will make him a doctor of the church. There's a lot of talk that the Holy Father, before he dies, will declare Louis de Montfort a doctor of the church. See, de Montfort died in 1716. He was beatified in 1888 and canonized in 1947. So hopefully, during our lifetime, he will become a doctor of the church. Now, the spirituality of de Montfort is really one of, first of all, trying to possess Jesus Christ. So it's a Christ-centered Marian spirituality. And de Montfort says that if you look back 2,000 years ago, how was Jesus Christ formed when he first came among us? Well, de Montfort says he was formed in the womb of the Blessed Mother. And he was formed by the Holy Spirit. So it was Our Lady and the Holy Spirit that cooperated to give birth and to form Christ in Our Lady's womb. De Montfort says, well, why don't we use that same pattern in trying to become Christ-like ourselves? Namely, to place ourselves into the care of our Blessed Mother, to allow her and the Holy Spirit to form the image of Christ within us. And that, in a nutshell, is what this consecration is all about. It is entrusting ourselves, consecrating ourselves to Our Lady, just as Jesus consecrated himself to Our Lady 2,000 years ago. That's what the Incarnation is all about, is God became a little tiny embryo, a little tiny babe in Our Lady's womb, that Jesus made himself totally dependent upon Our Blessed Mother for 9 months, and then spent 30 years in her company. Now, de Montfort says, we too should entrust and consecrate ourselves to the Blessed Mother, just as Jesus did. So we become totally dependent upon Our Lady, just as Jesus did. And then the Holy Spirit and Our Lady will form the image and likeness of Christ within us, which is sanctity, which is holiness, which is the very purpose of life. So de Montfort says, make the consecration to Our Lady, and then she will give you to Christ. Remember, it's always a consecration to Jesus through Mary. We give ourselves to Our Lady, then Our Lady presents us to Christ. Now, what we give in this consecration is everything. It's a total consecration. We give our past, our present, and our future. We give our body, our health. We give the kind of death that we will receive at the hand of God. We give everything material that we own, which would be our home, our car, our bank account, our possessions, everything that we have of a material nature, we give to Our Lady. But we also give everything from a spiritual point of view as well, which would be the entrusting of our soul to her maternal care, giving the prayers that we offer, any merits that we regain, indulgences that we would acquire. Everything is given to Our Lady. It's to be placed in her safekeeping. So it is a total consecration. Now, once we make this consecration, we then try to live in dependence upon our Blessed Mother and dependence upon our Lord. He actually called it a holy slavery of love. That's why he encouraged people to actually wear maybe a chain, like a little chain around your wrist or around your neck, or maybe even a ring, something that would remind you that you belong to Jesus and the Blessed Mother. And so he called it a holy slavery of love. Now, how to make this consecration, the Montfort recommends that you spend a period of 33 days, which is what you're going to be doing here at this church, beginning on Monday. And that he recommended 33 days, one day for every year that our Lord spent on earth. And he says that the first 12 days should be trying to pray and read to rid ourselves of the spirit of the world. And the readings come from the Sermon on the Mount and from the Imitation of Christ, to try to rid ourselves of this worldliness, secularism, humanism that has so pervaded our souls and our lives. So 12 days of purification. You know, similar to see like the three stages of the interior life. First is the purgative way, then the illuminative way, and then the unitive way. So we try to purify ourselves, and then we try to enlighten ourselves the illuminative way by reading. Reading about our Lord and the Blessed Mother, and then we try to grow in unity, in the unitive way of living in union with our Lord and the Blessed Mother. So the first 12 days, ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world. And then he says, the next 7 days, the readings are all about knowledge of self, trying to grow in self-knowledge. And then, 7 days, the readings are about knowledge of Mary, trying to grow in our knowledge and love of our Blessed Mother. And then the last 7 days, growing in our knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. So we see how this 33 days unfolds from purification of, from the world, growing in knowledge of self, then knowledge of Our Lady, and then knowledge of Christ. But the Montfort then says, you pick a day and give yourself away. So you pick a day, it could be a feast day of the Blessed Mother, or whatever day you've happened to chosen here at St. John's Parish. And he recommends that you handwrite the consecration. He says when you write it out yourself, it really imprints it in your mind and heart when you copy it out. In a sense, it's a formal contract, a formal covenant that you make between you and the Blessed Mother. So he recommends that sometime during the 33 days, you handwrite it and copy it out. Then, on the day of the consecration, you would attend Mass, receive Holy Communion, then after Mass, then you recite or read this consecration, hopefully in the presence of everyone. And then you would then sign it and date it. And that is the day you officially become a slave of our Blessed Mother. And again, it's a holy slavery of love. It's something that we willingly do, just as Christ willingly placed himself into dependence upon Our Lady, so we imitate Christ and do the same thing. So you then sign it, and De Montfort also recommends that a week or so before you make the consecration, you make sure you go to confession, at least within a week before the consecration, because you can gain a plenary indulgence by making the consecration. Again, that means you have to go to confession within 8 days before or 8 days after. So basically, in a nutshell, that is what the consecration is all about. But that's just making of the consecration. What about living the consecration? Well, we try to live the consecration by imitating the virtues of our Blessed Mother. Her faith, her hope, her charity, her kindness, her generosity. We try to live in dependence upon Our Lady. And De Montfort says we should do all our actions in, with, through, and for Mary, so we can do all our actions in, with, through, and for Christ. So we try to then imitate our Blessed Mother, to speak as Our Lady would speak, to act as Our Lady would act, to think with Our Lady's mind, to love with Our Lady's heart, to try to become a living copy of our Blessed Mother, to be a living image of Christ and Our Lady. And some of the practical things De Montfort recommends is that when you attend Mass and receive Communion, try to receive Communion as our Blessed Mother received Communion. She received the first Communion at the Annunciation when the Incarnation took place within her womb. But she received Holy Communion from St. John the Apostle at Ephesus when St. John would say Mass for her. So try to receive Communion as Our Lady received Jesus. Try to attend Mass as our Blessed Mother attended the crucifixion, as Our Lady stood at the crucifixion with those dispositions and the same prayers and love that filled her heart. So whenever we attend Mass, which is the re-presentation of Calvary, we too should be present as our Blessed Mother participated and stood there as the co-redemptrix at the foot of the cross on Calvary. When we make the Stations of the Cross, make it in union with Our Lady, who made the first Stations of the Cross, who made the Via Dolorosa 2,000 years ago as Jesus walked through the streets of Jerusalem. So when we make the Stations of the Cross, we should make that with the same love and disposition that filled Our Lady's heart 2,000 years ago. So we make this consecration, we then try to live in union with our Lord and the Blessed Mother, and we try to live a life of trust and dependence upon our Lord and the Blessed Mother. So you know, after you make the consecration, you're not allowed to worry about anything. Did you know that? No worries, okay? After you make the consecration, you can't worry about anything because it's forbidden. Worry is a sign of atheism. It's a minor form of atheism because everything belongs to our Lord and the Blessed Mother. Your children, your grandchildren. Now, you're allowed to pray for them, and you should pray for them, but you can't be worried about them. You can pray and sacrifice for them, but when you belong to Our Lady, everything belongs to her. If your car breaks down, it's Our Lady's car. If your house catches on fire, it's Our Lady's house. You know what I mean? So it requires this living in dependence upon Our Lady and trying to really live a life of this total dependency. So that's what this consecration is all about. So I encourage you to make the consecration and to live the consecration. And if you do, I'm sure it will certainly change your life as it has changed the life of so many people during these last few hundred years. God bless you.